This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with attorney Eric Bland about the case against Alec Murdaugh. We were discussing yesterday a bit about the reaction in court to Alec's speech, infomercial, as Eric so eloquently stated. But let's talk a little bit about one of his reactions, specifically, Eric, to the family of Gloria Satterfield, especially when he was, what you had brought up about who raised the children, almost correcting people when they were trying to just give their statements of truth of what happened to them. That was not the time or place to go. Well, I mean, just obviously very disconnected. Another moment I thought that felt very odd and disconnected was when he was talking to the Satterfield family and was talking about when he made up the story about the dogs. And it was all paraphrasing. It was with good intent at the end of the day. Isn't that the story when he made up the story? Wasn't that still the story that he's been sticking with all this time? Was that alluding to something else happening?
Well, yeah, I mean, they had closure. They believe that the dogs caused the fall. And the reason I say that they believe the dogs caused the fall is Alex gave an under oath statement a month after Gloria died and said exactly that the dogs caused the fall. Maggie and Paul both gave statements to the police and to the insurance company where they said they came outside immediately upon hearing the dogs barking and they found the dogs circling Gloria at the bottom of the stairs. Mm-hmm. And they both said that the dogs are rambunctious. They have a history of greeting people, Tony, as they walk up. The stairs in the outside of Moselle are about 9 deep and they're pointed brick at the end. They're not rounded bullnose. They're pointed brick. And so it's about a 10-foot fall tumbling from the top stairs to the bottom. And they both told the insurance company, Maggie and Paul, that the dogs had a history of jumping on people as they're coming up the stairs. Now, you're talking about Gloria was in her late 50s. She had diabetes. She was a little bit overweight. You know, she may have lost her balance when the dog jumped up. And Alex even said the dog just came back because he was so out of control that they were trying to get him trained. So isn't it convenient that 5 years later, after Alex already gave a judgment to the Satterfields for $4.3 million, isn't it convenient that the three people that can dispute his new story are dead?
Yeah.
Gloria's dead, Maggie's dead, and Paul's dead. So are we to believe Alex when he's lied all these years on the murder? And we'll talk about the murder in a couple minutes. And it's similar to Buster in the Stephen Smith case. Mm-hmm. The alibi that he's now giving is, I was at the beach house when Stephen got killed on July 8th of 2015 with my mother and my brother. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that convenient too?
Yeah.
Because Maggie and Paul are dead. So, you know, they're good at layering off on other people who you can't go to them and say, hey, what happened? Because they're dead. You know, everybody's concerned about, you know, why did Alex do that? Well, the reason he did what he did was because they fully expect that they're going to win the motion for a new trial on the fact of jury tampering. Mm-hmm. And so Alex is trying, Tony, to change his image to the next time. Maybe the judge won't let this new judge. It's not going to be most likely Judge Newman.
Sure.
Maybe this new judge won't let in the financial crimes. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, motive is not an element of murder. You never have to prove motive. But a jury wants to know, why would they do it?
Yeah.
Why would they do it? Well, if you take away the financial crimes, then it's really hard to figure out why he would have killed Maggie and Paul. However, we're still back to those murder facts that were so irrefutable. Mm-hmm. He lied for 2 solid years to his son and to the police that he was at the kennel 2 minutes before Maggie and Paul were shot. When he came back at 10:05 p.m. and allegedly found Maggie and Paul shot, he said he ran over and hugged them, picked them up, tried to figure out, are they alive or whatever. Yet he had no blood, none, on his hands, arms, or shirt. Now, I can tell you, I've been married to my wife, Renee, for 35 years. I have 2 children, Davis and Sydney. If I came home and, God forbid, Renee was lying on the ground and Sidney or Davis was lying on the ground and they were shot, the first thing I'd do would be to hug them and scream to the sky. Oh, my God, what happened? What happened? Are you alive? Honey, breathe. Yeah. I'd have blood, Tony, head to toe,
yeah,
because I was hugging them. I wouldn't be clean. The next thing is he took 42 minutes to call his only living son, Buster, to tell them that his mother and brother were killed. Mm-hmm. What did he do in that interim 42 minutes? He called his brother, told his brother. He called some of his law partners and told them. He called friends of Paul's to tell them that Paul was shot.
Mm-hmm.
He did an internet search on his phone about a restaurant, and then he participated in a text stream. And then at 10:42, he finally got around to calling Buster and telling him that his mother and his brother were killed. However, he didn't say to Buster, don't come home. There's a murderer on the loose out here somewhere in Hampton County. Stay wherever you are up there in York. Better yet, go to the police station and get protection. He tells his son, come home. Then you want to say, okay, tell me what else would be incriminating. Well, who puts a reward and has a time period of 90 days that's going to expire? If I'm going to put a reward out for my wife, there's not going to be a time limit.
No.
And then finally, 102 phone calls that we have from his time in jail that were recorded before he was convicted. And not one of those phone calls does he say to Buster or his brothers, what are you doing to find the killers? I'm sitting here languishing in jail. Who's going out there trying to find out who killed Maggie and Paul? I'm innocent. I didn't kill him. Never once does he say that. You know what he talks about? Football and hunting.
Yeah.
For 102 phone calls.
Yeah. That's the work of an innocent man completely.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.